Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the gathering place here in beautiful Simi Valley, California, where we've been having a little bit of rain. And Mark, I was looking at the weather thing, said it's going to get down to 39, like 1 in the morning or something. It's like we were just about hitting spring, and then we have a little winter setback. But the clocks will go ahead Saturday night at 2 in the morning, and we'll be in daylight savings. I know we voted on it in 2018, but government sometimes moves slow, and probably by, 2050, maybe, we'll be done. Anyways, some good things to say about California. Before we do that, we'd like to make this declaration based on Zechariah 4, 5 through 7, and of course you can read it, and we put it up there so you can read it, but we don't want to read it every single time. But we do know it's by the Spirit of the Lord, and we do know that when you shout grace to the mountain, and mountain usually means political things, they come down, and we're watching the most historic political season I've ever seen, that I've ever witnessed. I don't want to say I can't believe because I'm watching it. It's happening so fast, it's making my head spin. And it's way more social stuff. They say, well, people do things for economic, but it's the social things that destroy countries. They're dealing way more with the social things that have been attacking Christianity for the last, I don't know how many years, decades really. It's all coming down, just as the prophets have said. And they say, well, what about California? We're trying to fight it. Yeah, it's not going to happen. God's got his hand on California. We're coming through. Before I share more of that, Rodney, would you lead us in a declaration of grace over the state of California and whatever else the Holy Spirit has given you?
Well, when I walked in tonight, you were talking about our government, and that's what we're going to focus on today, is both the national government and the state government. Okay. So I shout grace, grace to President Trump.
I shout grace, grace to President Trump.
I shout grace, grace to Vice President Vance.
I shout grace, grace to Vice President Vance.
I shout grace, grace to the cabinet.
I shout grace, grace to the cabinet.
I shout grace, grace to Congress.
I shout grace, grace to Congress.
I shout grace, grace to the Supreme Court.
I shout grace, grace to the Supreme Court.
I shout grace, grace to Gavin Newsom.
I shout grace, grace to Gavin Newsom.
I shout grace, grace to our state government.
I shout grace, grace to our state government.
I shout grace, grace to Los Angeles.
I shout grace, grace to Los Angeles.
And I shout grace, grace to California.
Grace, grace, California.
Now seven times with me. Grace, 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 grace.
Amen. Hallelujah. So, before I tell you the California thing real quick, I listened to the president's speech, and I've listened to some speeches. He's really, just like Kim Clements' word said, he's really coming to God. You can tell he's becoming more and more spiritual, but he's not some kind of pastor or anything like that. As Kim said, he'd be more of a prophet because he just blurts stuff out, but his boldness as he just literally declares death to the enemy. And it was an amazing 2 hours. I watched that and I said, thank you, Father, for just, because the president of the country is declaring the direction of the country, and it's a godly direction. Yes. It's a direction out of foolishness, about men thinking they can be women. That's so idiotic. And you have to be the dumbest moron in the world to believe that. But they're sitting there, college professors teaching it, making up all kinds of garbage as to why a man could become a woman or vice versa. It's just beyond moronic. And it was like, it's like the emperor has no clothes. Your clothes are beautiful. He's not wearing anything. And that's kind of what's been going on in America. And they've been calling it out. And one of the people that's really called out a lot of stuff and going to the college campuses has been Charlie Kirk. He has been amazing. Well, our governor, Governor Newsom, met with him for over an hour. They had a conversation, and he did an interview with him, and he told Charlie Kirk, he says, my son just loves you. He wanted to stay off school and come here today and meet you. You should have let him. He goes, you let everybody stay out of school for 2 years. Should let him come. And Newsom, he didn't defend. He just laughed. You know, what could he do, really? But he met with Charlie Kirk, and then when he talked about men and women's sports, he said, yeah, I'm not for that. So he's changed his tune. And I say, well, that's because he's running for president. Maybe. But whatever it is, the tune is changing. And I like the new sound. So as you're declaring grace over California, I think got a little hum there going in the sound there. As you're declaring grace over California, your prayers and your words are affecting our state. I know people said, there's some people that I know are like, nah, you're wasting your time praying for California. You're wasting. No, we're not wasting our time. Our prayers are powerful, they're effective, and we are transforming our state. So thank you for your faithfulness to come and pray tonight. All right. Let's look at Psalm 105, which we've looked at for the last few weeks. And I love this psalm because it says, it's God telling us how he brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, because we are in that season right now. We are in the time when God is delivering, literally, the world. It's not just America, but America's the leader of the world, and it's the most Christian nation. He is delivering America and the world out of the bondage of the demonic. He brought them forth also with silver and gold. There was not one feeble person among them. How did he bring them forth? He transformed their finances. Transformed their finances and then healed their bodies. How did he heal their bodies? The glory of the Lord. Cloud by day, fire by night. And then I want to look at two of the patriarchs. First, Abraham. It said, Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. So he had a business, which was cattle, and the commodities of the days, which were silver and gold, which amazingly are still commodities today. Man, we got a bad echo up here. I can hear it. Can you guys hear it? Is it okay? Okay. It's driving me crazy. I feel like Joe Biden. Anyway, about to start stuttering. Amen. Okay.
So, Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And then you have Isaac. He said, Isaac sowed in the land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. So the people that God called to literally be the ones who would bring forth a nation, that bring forth the Messiah, he made them extremely wealthy. And I'll just tell you this right now. The demonic in America has stolen trillions of dollars from us, from you. And it's going to be paid back. How do you know? All the prophets have been prophesying it, and we're watching it. We're watching all of the money that has been going out to insane, idiotic projects being exposed, just like the prophets said it would be exposed. And it's being exposed, and when it's all said and done, the gold, the silver and the gold is coming back to the people of God. I believe it's coming back to our whole nation, but it's coming out of the hands of the wicked, those who are making laws against us, those who were stealing our freedom. And I have to say, in the United Kingdom, it's so bad there that they're putting people in jail over certain speech or things on the internet. A girl got put in jail. She tweeted a part of a song, the rapper from America. She tweeted a part of a song had to do with her friend's funeral, and she got 2 years sentence. She wasn't trying to like even say anything. She was just honoring her friend. So that's why J.D. Vance stood up there and said, bam, in your face to Europe. That's why he was so mean to them. He's just like, bam, you guys are not freedom anymore. Told them that straight out. You have lost freedom. So God is challenging the world. And by July 11th, I believe in the dream that Chris Reed had, by July 11th, America will be reborn. And why is that an important day, July 11? Because that's the day that King Billy crossed the Boyne. It's an Irish thing. When the Catholics, if you understand Europe and the Reformation, which you're in America, you don't, but if you understand the Reformation, it was the transformation of the church from the Holy Roman Empire and from a Catholicism, which basically the priests spoke Latin, the people had no idea what anything meant, and they were selling, you know, bishop's office. Oh, how much you got? Oh, you're a bishop now. It was very, very corrupt. And Martin Luther was the one that obviously started the Reformation. God started the Reformation, but we'll give it Martin Luther was the man that he used. It transformed Europe. And in Northern Ireland, every year on the 11th of July, they have bonfires in celebration of the freedom. And I believe that's a type, I don't know, maybe God chose that day, that's a type of the freedom that's coming to America where we're going to be free from the ungodly, from the unholy. And listen, all of the sexual perversion that you see going on, those are all demons from millennia ago. They're just old demons reappearing and trying to surface as some kind of a new thing. Anyways, how did that get into the offering? I don't know. But I do know this, that I believe the silver and the gold are coming back to the people of God. So don't panic over the next few months, because it's going to be an interesting couple of months. When we hit July, then you're going to see the rebirth of America, and I believe transformation of the finances of America. And a lot of people in America aren't going to be living paycheck to paycheck or trying to figure out how they can buy a house or afford a house or anything. All those things are going to change. All right. With that, we're going to receive the offering tonight. So if you're making out checks, please make them out to the gathering place or those that give to Soaring Ministries. Same thing if you're doing it by text. We have it up there on the board. Pray this with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the transformation of America. We thank you that the blood of Jesus has been shed over America, covers America, wipes out the sins so that you may bless our nation. And we thank you, Jesus, that you have become our high priest, that we come to the Father by you. Through your name, we can ask him anything. And we ask you as our high priest to bring our tithes and offerings unto the Father. And we humble ourselves, Father, by doing this. We receive the opening of the windows of heaven to pour out a blessing that California has abundance as it's never had before. We thank you for new factories. We thank you for new reservoirs all across the state. New lakes being created all across the state. People where Californians can go and they can boat and they can ski. They can camp. We thank you, Father, for the transformation of the state of California. Ooh, that was prophetic. I like that. And I thank you for rebuking the devourer for our sakes and over our state. Amen. All right, ushers, you can go ahead and receive the offering. Hey! We got lakes and stuff coming to California and reservoirs. I like that. Now you probably don't know this because you went to public school. Maybe if you're a little older, you know a little bit because you went to public school, but they don't teach much in public school these days. I remember when Brianna, who was my youngest at that time, she wanted to go to the public school. It was a really good school down the street, so she went in there. She was probably a B student in her private school. She went in there and she's immediately put in the magnet program. They're like, oh, you're beyond everybody. And David, when he got out of, he graduated school and he went to college, his first year of college, he said, Dad, I felt like I'd gone back to seventh grade. So let's just say there's a lot of things you don't know about California. One of them is at one time there was a lake that covered, about a third of California. Massive lakes. Belinda knows. What about you, Nathan? Do you know that? Okay, say, hey, Nathan. Because you're praying now, Nathan, so you're doing all that good praying. So we have all kinds of resources which people under demonic influence have been destroying. I think we destroyed like 4 dams in California this year. Isn't that idiotic? Like you would say, well, nobody, only, not even a stupid person would do that. No, they wouldn't. So who did it? An evil person or an evil spirit. Anyways, I'm going to be sweet from here on in. Let's not forget before we get going that we have our conference with Ian Clayton, which is May 8th through the 10th. It's what, the 6th today of March? So you don't have as much time as you think. Sign up. Well, I just want to be one of the workers. I think we've already contacted all the workers. So if you need a ticket, buy it now. Bob, why should I go to that? Because Ian challenges your belief systems and changes the, it, just when you're listening to him, it changes things within you, challenges your thinking. You're going, no, it doesn't make sense. But that starts to change your belief systems. Because if your belief systems aren't working right, they need to be challenged and they need to have some transformation. I'm not saying they're completely wrong, but I know that Ian challenges belief systems and changes them within the heart. All right. Prayers of the righteous. You know, we've been talking a lot about healing lately because of the dream that God gave me. And I don't want to go into the whole dream, but it was a dream about a prayer meeting, just say that. And it was an old prayer meeting. It was like, when I say old, there was people from the past, people that I know that have passed away. And I was actually listening to, I don't know if it was a podcast or whatever, from a woman who had died, and Jesus taught her about prayer, taught her about all, you know, all the different kinds of prayer and how that the prayers of those that were in the past, your parents, your grandparents, great-grandparents, that they connect with your prayers today. And that's what I was seeing. As a matter of fact, I had the old slide projector. We used to use those to put things up instead of, you know, now we just, you know, just right from the iPads that go right up there. We had the old slide projectors. We put things up there, and it was a prayer meeting. I was preparing for a prayer meeting. But in the midst of this, there was a complete restoration in my body. My body just started lifting up. And I knew that this was God through prayer. God was going to begin to restore the people's health. And I believe that this is right in alignment with even what's going on in our country. Now, Robert Kennedy Jr., who is a, you know, staunch Democrat his whole life, but he was praying for 20 years for God to give him an opportunity to change the health system of America. And he said, God answered my prayer. He sent Donald Trump. So we now have a guy, you know, you put Admiral Levine up there. Man. Talk about somebody who looks unhealthy. And you put RFK, who's jacked, and he's asking questions. Where's all the autism coming from? Where's that? And why do we have red dye? And why do we have this yellow dye? And why do these European countries reject our foods? Because of these additives? Or why do we sell them foods without these attitudes that come from here, but we put them in our foods and we know that they do neurological damage? So I believe that God is doing something in the nation, but he's also doing something within the church. That he's bringing a spirit of resurrection or restoration into the church. And this is what I saw in this dream. And it was going to be through prayer. Now listen, you guys probably do. There are churches down the road that have thousands of people. You guys pray more than those thousands of people. You probably pray more in a week than they do in a month. They may be throwing up prayers. God, make the coffee at church good today. You know. Thank you, Ron. I actually appreciate that. But I mean, really, it's the prayers are pretty much just about themselves. They're not praying in the Holy Spirit. They're not even baptized in the Holy Spirit, which is rank disobedience on the highest level. And they don't even know it. So what does Jesus do? He says, he went into the temple of God, cast out all of them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold up. So the church had become completely demonic. It had completely embraced the love of money, which is the root of all evil. And he said, and that's, of course, what happened in our government. That's why our government went so dark. He said unto them, as written, my house shall be called the house of prayer. He didn't say be called the house of preaching or the house of good coffee or anything like that, or the house of bingo in the back. He said, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. So he said, what the houses of God are meant to be are houses of prayer, where people come and pray. Sanctuaries of prayer. Honestly, if people were coming in here all week, we'd just leave this open for people to come in here and pray. Because the house of God is meant to be a house of prayer. But he said, you've made it a den of thieves. In other words, he goes, you have embraced Satan's foundation. He goes, God's foundation is prayer. And that's what we're restoring, my friends. Is the house of God becoming a house of prayer? Look what he says. And the blind and the lame came into the temple and he healed them. When the house of God becomes a house of prayer, it becomes a house of healing. And that's what God is calling us. He's calling us to be a house of healing, but you can't be a house of healing until you're a house of prayer. You could be a house of coffee, but then you're just jittery. All right. Proverbs 15:29 says this, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. Even when you pray a little prayer, you say, God, give so-and-so grace. Pray in Jesus' name, you're praying for somebody, give so-and-so grace. He hears that prayer, and he honors that prayer. Why? Because you're living in a place of prayer. You're living in a place of communion with God. So he's hearing your prayers because you're in that communion all the time. He hears the prayer of the righteous. This was the prayer meeting I saw. Now, what is he praying for? He wants to begin to heal people's bodies. He wants to begin to restore people's bodies. People that have knees that don't work anymore, people that have hips that don't work anymore. Listen, when you get older, a lot of things stop working. So they don't need to be healed. They need to be restored. And that's what he wants to do. That's when they came out of Egypt, that's what he did. How's he going to do that? Well, by the Holy Spirit. As he prays through you, there's going to be that kind of restoration. There'll be healings, obviously. That's always going to be part of it. In James, it says, any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. So even though James may not have been considered an apostle by people like Martin Luther and others, he brings out something that was taking place in the early church. He said, if anybody's sick, let him call for the elders of the church. Now listen, this was the half-brother of Jesus who grew up with him. He's the younger brother of Jesus, growing up in the same house. This is not the James who was one of the disciples. That James was murdered. But this is the James that grew up with Jesus, and he was aware of what Jesus was doing, obviously. And so he said, if you have anybody sick, let them call for the elders of the church. In other words, the church was a place of healing. It was a house of healing. He said, the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. And he's talking about real sick, not, you know, you had a cold or something. Not that God doesn't care about your cold. He wants to heal it. Shouldn't say your cold, the one that hit your body. But he said, the prayer of faith shall save this sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. So he's talking about somebody who's maybe deadly sick. And if they have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Righteousness in action. Confess your faults one to another. You be careful about that, though.
And then I robbed a bank.
Undercover policeman's listening.
Yeah, many years ago, and the next thing you know, you're in jail.
Anyways, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. So he's saying, pray for each other that you may be healed. So healing is a major part of the early church. Now, this is the early church in Jerusalem, but that's where the early church started. It's where it was born. Came out of there, and it was very much a place of healing. He says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. And what is a man with a womb? A womb man. So the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman avails much. So you have somebody that's given righteousness by the Lord Jesus Christ. You are effective in your prayers. And they avail much, especially when it comes to healing. Not just to that. But we could see here in the context of what James is saying, it's connected to healing. Pray one for another, you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So you could use that about prayer in general, but it's connected here. It's obvious. It's connected to prayer for healing. I don't ever ask anybody for prayer, but there are times God puts it on somebody's heart to pray for me. But if someone is really sick, they could have a person of great faith. But if somebody's really sick and they can't pray, you might need somebody to help pray for you. That's where you might need some help. And that's what the early church did. They prayed one for another that they might be healed. And there's nothing wrong with that. Okay. I promised you I was going to tell you a wonderful story, and I am. And actually, Sandra sent this to me, an old message from years ago, pretty sure. And it had to do with Dr. David Livingston. Now, I didn't hear about this in school, but really through people like Lester Sumrall and so on, that Livingston went into the interior of Africa. It's one of the first missionaries to go into the interior, and that's where the book Blood Covenant by E.W. Kenyon talks about how that happened, how that Stanley, who was a reporter, went in to find him, and he made all these covenants to go and find Dr. Livingston. And I think there was a movie maybe from the 50s with Spencer Tracy, who played Mr. Stanley. But Livingston was this great missionary into the interior of Africa. And even how he was recruited as a boy was an incredible story. But I skipped that part of it because it's too long. And so we'll just start when he goes into Africa. So he goes into Africa as a medical missionary. He labors and labors and labors. There's one particular community tribe that they're trying to reach, and it's really difficult. And the chief sent him a message, and the chief said to him, we are going to come tonight, and we're going to murder you and everyone in your compound. You might take off, right? The reason we know every detail of this, and I've researched this, the speaker talking, is because David Livingston and all of this is written in his diaries. He's writing in his diary, Lord, we've labored so faithfully. Please, please, please protect us. Please help us. And you can see there's a little bit of fear in what he wrote on that day. Their ministry will be obliterated and everyone will die, but they didn't come and kill them. So they didn't come and kill them. Anyway, a couple years later, they eventually introduced the chief of the tribe to Jesus, and the entire community converts and follows Jesus. Awesome. David Livingston said, the story gets better. David Livingston said to the chief, you sent me a message that you were going to come and kill me and kill everyone in the compound. And he said, yes, we came. But why did you not kill us? Because when we came to the compound, there were 39 giants surrounding the compound, warriors. We counted them. There were 39 of them surrounding the compound. A couple of years later, David Livingston returns to his church in Scotland. This is the church that sponsored him and that he came from, and where he actually made the commission to go. And he tells that story at the end of the meeting. The secretary of the church comes up to Dr. Livingston and says, Dr. Livingston, do you remember the date that the chief said, we're going to come and kill you? He says, of course, I know the date. He gives him the date, and the secretary of the church opens the church diary, and he shows him that there were 39 people in the church in Scotland on that day praying for the 39 praying in the church in Scotland, and there were 39 warriors surrounding the compound. Do not say that's a coincidence. That's the power of prayer. And, you know, previous generations really understood this. Now listen, if you're in a place where they're going to come and kill you, listen, when we were in Uganda, one of my friends, Clyde Rivers, he had prophesied that the President Museveni was going to win the election. And they said to him, they said, Clyde, we need to get you out of the country, because he was way down in the polls. And they said, if he loses the election, he goes, they'll kill you. You know, there's no false prophecies there. And that's just the way it is. You know, they're like, the justice is immediate. And so these people, they were going to come kill them. And if you lived in that day, you knew that, you would be afraid. So it took an act of God and these people to see these angels protecting this compound, because there were 39 people in a church, in a prayer meeting, praying. I just believe that more and more of these kinds of things are going to begin to happen here in the United States of America. And you see, just in the last couple of weeks, I've given you so many testimonies of things happen. Even the testimony Keith shared on Saturday about his brain. So there's a lot of things like this that are taking place. Now, it's not going to be a real long meeting tonight, because I really wanted to impress this one thing on you. And I'm going to change my direction slightly. I'm going to have you stand up. We're going to do some healing scriptures tonight. And then, if you know somebody that needs healing, we're going to pray for them. Sound okay? So say this with me. The first thing is, of course, a declaration over yourself. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for releasing your healing mercy into my body by the stripes of Jesus. Father in heaven, I see your angels healing and restoring my body, bringing me new body parts from your heavenly storehouses. My body's becoming more youthful every day. Isaiah 53:4-5, surely he has borne my griefs, carried my sorrows, anguish, affliction, and pain. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted, but he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and with his stripes, my body is completely healed, whole, and restored. Now let me ask this. Does anybody here tonight need some healing in their body? Rodney, come stand here. Jay, come stand here. I want everybody to stretch your hands out and said, let us call for the elders of the church. And that tonight, that's all of you. What do you need healing for, Rodney? Okay. All right, Jay? In your knee? Okay. Okay. Well, you got to quit kneeing people. Okay. All right. All right, so everybody stretch your hands out and just begin to pray. We're going to start by just praying in the Holy Spirit. Dana, lay your hands on. Dana, lay your hands on Jay. Kumba ba ba bo ho rakam ba ba bo 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 shokom ba 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 Yara kohonde yara baba boho ra kahandi yari amomo. Ro baba boho ra kahandi yari kohonda yara baba botoma. Ho ra kata babo shakoho re de abo. Hore baba boho ra kandi yare baba boho ra kaham baba bo. Yaro kondi yare ambo baba babo ho shakoha yarona. Yamora kati yare baba boho ra. Arokondi araim baba baba ho reima ya rokondi are baba baba sata hora baba baba. Now I want us to give thanksgiving as if it's done. Hore amarade alo mama hora manade ala mayaroni ara manade alo shomarade he alo hore ana Ora ne arone are alo hore ama arome ala mare ano hore ama aromarade alo hore ama ne alo ma. Amen. Rodney, I know you probably have to get an x-ray or something, but I felt the power of God going into you. Yeah. And Jay, how do your knees feel? Still have a lot of burning. Everybody stretch your hand out toward it real quick. We command the burning in your knee to go. We command the tendons and the ligaments to come into alignment, to strengthen. Father, I take authority over the wear and tear in these ligaments, and I pray that your life and that restoration would come into Jay's knees, both of her knees. Let restoration come into her knees. Borakati yara kandoriba chukohande yara likomba baboho sukombi yare tabo. You feel that starting to move there, Jay? Yes. There it is. It's moving in there. Amen. Now, everybody stretch your hands toward me because we're going to pray for people. And that's you at home. Whatever you are. Everybody stretching their hands toward me. I'm going to be that. I'm going to be the point of contact, so to speak. I'm going to stretch my hand toward you. And if you have an ailment, if there's something wrong with your neck or your head or your heart, your stomach, it's not digesting right, so anything like that, I want you to just lay your hand on it. And right now, by the blood of Jesus and the name of Jesus, by the stripes of Jesus, Father, I pray that your healing anointing would come upon every person right now within the sound of my voice. Even those that will listen to this later, let them hear the anointing, let it come upon them. Everyone within the sound of my voice, let it come upon them and drive out every sickness and every disease in their body. But Father, I pray that a spirit of restoration would begin to come into their bodies, that you would restore knees, that you would restore shoulders and elbows and hips, that you would begin to restore, you begin to restore parts of the bodies that have been worn out through years and years of living, but were never meant to wear out by your anointing. Father, you never meant them to wear out. So let your healing anointing flow into them right now. And I command life and health and healing to come into your body now. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So when you laid hands and you stretch your hand toward me, there, listen, every time I've ever stretched my hand, I've always felt the anointing. When you put your hand toward me and I put mine toward the people, that anointing went out to them. So your prayers were effectual to them. And those of you that are home, I know that people will sometimes come in and say, hey, when you were praying this or you heard this, I was at home and I got healed. And we don't do that a lot, but we're doing it tonight. Anyways, that is tonight. That's what we're doing tonight. And so you guys get a short night so that you, it's almost like an early daylight savings. I guess it's not that short. It's 7:40. So I pray for you that are home. We did pray for you, but I pray that God's grace, and for everybody here, that God's mercy and his grace would be with you this week in everything that you do, in all of your decisions. And Father, I pray that your kingdom, your righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit would be with everyone within the sound of my voice, everyone that is here, everyone that is listening tonight. And I don't know why, but I'm just asking for Ryan, your son, Nathan. I'm asking for mercy and grace for him. and health and strength into his body. And for whatever reason, into his heart. I release anointing into his heart by the power of the blood in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for that, Father. Amen. All right. I love you guys. Have an awesome night. We'll see you tomorrow for prayer.